भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा. टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 7. चैप्टर 7 इज एंटाइटल्ड द सन ऑफ द्रोणा पनिश्ड एंड टुडे वी आर रीडिंग टेक्स्ट 21. तत प्रादुष्कृतम तेज प्रचंडं सर्वतो दिशां प्राणापदमभिप्रेक्ष्य विष्णुं जिष्णुरुवाचः तत प्रादुष्कृतं तेज प्रचण्डं सर्वतो दिशां प्राणापदमभिप्रेक्ष्य विष्णुं जिष्णुरुवाचः तत प्रादुष्कृतं तेज प्रचण्डं सर्वतो दिशां प्राणापदमभिप्रेक्ष्य विष्णुं जिष्णुरुवाचः तत देयर आफ्टर प्रादुष्कृतम डिसेमिनेटेड तेज ग्लेयर प्रचंडम फियर्स सर्वतः ऑल अराउंड दिशां डायरेक्शंस प्राणापदम अफेक्टिंग लाइफ अभिप्रेक्ष्य हैविंग ऑब्जर्व्ड इट विष्णु unto the Lord, Jishnu, Arjuna, Uvacha, said, Ha, in the past. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Thereupon, a glaring light spread in all directions. It was so fierce that Arjuna thought his own life in danger, and so he began to address Lord Krishna as follows. Since there is no purport to this verse, we will read the next verse as well. Text 22. अर्जुन उवाच कृष्ण कृष्ण महाबाहो भक्तानाम भयंकर त्वम एको दह्यमानानाम अपवर्गोसि संश्रितः. अर्जुन सेड ओ माय लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण यू आर द ऑलमाइटी पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड देयर इज नो लिमिट टू योर डिफरेंट एनर्जीज देयरफॉर ओनली यू आर कॉम्पिटेंट टू इंस्टिल फियरलेसनेस इन द हार्ट्स ऑफ योर डिवोटीज एवरीवन इन द फ्लेम्स ऑफ मटीरियल मिजरीज कैन फाइंड द पाथ ऑफ लिबरेशन इन यू ओनली. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna was aware of the transcendental qualities of Lord Shri Krishna, as he had already experienced them during the Kurukshetra war, in which both of them were present. Therefore, Arjuna's version of Lord Krishna is authoritative. Krishna is almighty and is especially the cause of fearlessness for the devotees. A devotee of the Lord is always fearless because of the protection given by the Lord. Material existence is something like a blazing fire in the forest, which can be extinguished by the mercy of Lord Shri Krishna. The spiritual master is the mercy representative of the Lord. Therefore, a person burning in the flames of material existence may receive the rains of mercy of the Lord through the transparent medium of the self-realized spiritual master. The spiritual master, by his words, can penetrate into the heart of the suffering person and inject knowledge transcendental, which alone can extinguish the fire of material existence. ಓಂ ಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಂಜನಶಲಾಕೆಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ಮುಖಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಃ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ದೀನತಾರಿಣಂ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. So this chapter is entitled The Son of Drona Pranish, and the pastime so far has been that the Kurukshetra war is over, and now Ashwatthama wanted to avenge his master's death. Like Duryodhan was on deathbed almost, and he wanted to avenge the defeat which the Kauravas had faced. So he did the most heinous act. He did the act of killing the 5 sleeping sons of Draupadi, and he brought those heads in front of Duryodhana, and even Duryodhana condemned that act, because you know during that time there were lots of codes of conduct of war, and people would never be killed who are unarmed, or children should never be harmed, or women should never be harmed. These were some of the codes of conduct which were there for the war. But Ashwatthama had totally disregarded those codes of conduct, and he had killed the 5 sleeping children of Draupadi. And when Draupadi came to know this, and Arjuna also came to know this, he said that I will bring the head of Ashwatthama, I will kill him. He promised this to Draupadi. And so he and Krishna mounted on the chariot, and they were running after Ashwatthama. And Ashwatthama was fleeing in danger when he saw that Krishna and Arjuna both were racing towards him. And because Ashwatthama was already not, you know, following the codes of conduct, he did another heinous act. Because he was fearing for his life, he thought that if Krishna and Arjuna catch up with me, definitely I'm going to lose my life. So what he did was, he just released the Brahmastra. And this studies he had got from his father. But unfortunately, he did not know how to withdraw the Brahmastra. That he had not been taught yet. But in spite of not knowing how to withdraw the Brahmastra, still he released the Brahmastra. He chanted the mantras for purification and he released the Brahmastra. Knowing that this can create mass destruction, he knew that the Brahmastra has so much potency that actually it can create mass destruction. But still he released it. And when he released this Brahmastra, Arjuna saw this glaring light coming. And this is the point in which now he is addressing Lord Krishna. So we see that in the previous 6 chapters, there were so many instructions which Sukadeva Goswami gives to Parikshit Maharaj. But Krishna had not been introduced personally. Krishna had still not come into the picture yet. But in this chapter, Krishna is being introduced. Like how we say the hero of the movie is being introduced, like that the hero of Bhagavatam is being introduced in this chapter. And how does Krishna like to be introduced? How has Krishna chosen to be introduced? He likes to be introduced as the most important feature, which is a very divine quality of Krishna, and that is his Bhakta Vatsala feature. So we see that now Arjuna is in danger and the Pandavas are in danger. They are facing this grave situation of losing their 5 sons. So you know this grave situation the Pandavas are facing, and this is the time when Krishna has chosen to be introduced in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because he always likes to be known as the protector of his devotees. As the Lord who gives fearlessness to his devotees, he protects them, he gives them fearlessness, and in this way he shows his affection to the devotees. And this feature of the Lord is known as Bhakta Vatsala feature. And we see over here also, in the purport also Prabhupada says, that Arjuna is aware of all the transcendental qualities of the Lord, because he had been present, they both were friends, and they had been present together in the war of Kurukshetra. So Arjuna was completely aware, and therefore Prabhupada says that he is an authority on this subject. That is what qualities does Krishna have? So he is an authority, and Arjuna is saying in this verse that Krishna, you are the Almighty Lord, and only you can instill fearlessness in your devotees' hearts. So there was a fearful situation which Arjuna was facing. There was a glaring light which was coming towards him, and it looked as if it's going to engulf the universe. So he was in a fearful situation, and he is immediately taking shelter of Krishna. And he is calling upon this transcendental quality of Krishna, this Bhakta Vatsala feature of Krishna. And he says that you are the one who can instill fearlessness. So what is this glaring light coming? I am not able to understand this. And therefore Prabhupada says that Arjuna is an authority and Krishna is the only person. Prabhupada explains that Krishna is almighty and is especially the cause of fearlessness for the devotees. So as devotees, it is very important that, you know, we try to cultivate this divine quality of fearlessness in our hearts. And it is one of the divine qualities which has been mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as well, in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Divine and Demoniac Qualities. So fearlessness, virtuousness, truthfulness, all these qualities, there's a big list which Krishna gives in the first few verses. And fearlessness is one of the important transcendental qualities, which is a divine quality, which needs to be developed by all the practicing devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement. But sometimes we may think that what is the necessity of developing, you know, divine qualities separately? Why endeavor for them separately? Is it not enough that we are engaged in devotional service and automatically these qualities will manifest in the heart? Because we are worshipping Krishna, who is Purnam in all divine qualities, so is it not that by worshipping Him and by chanting His holy names, the same qualities will develop in our heart? Yes, this is true, that if we are doing devotional service, definitely these qualities will develop in our heart. But that devotional service has to be on the highest platform, the platform on which the gopis or the Vrajavasis serve Krishna. And that platform is that the devotional service is done entirely for the pleasure of Krishna. It is completely unmotivated and there is no other ulterior motive, there is no other agenda which a devotee has when he is worshipping the Lord. He doesn't even desire liberation. So such devotees like the Brajvasis, the gopis, their only desire was the pleasure of Lord Krishna through their devotional service. So if the devotional service is on that platform, then automatically, because you are doing the devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna, automatically all these qualities come in a devotee's heart. But since the devotional service is not yet on that platform, then devotees must endeavor to imbibe these qualities or to cultivate these qualities in their heart. And when Krishna sees this endeavor of the devotees, like we see in the Damodar Leela also, Krishna saw the endeavor of Yashoda Maya and then he agreed to bestow his mercy on Yashoda. So similarly, when Krishna sees that we are trying to develop these virtuous qualities like fearlessness in our heart, then Krishna automatically bestows His mercy on us, because of which our devotional service also improves and these qualities also come inside our heart. Now why is it important for devotees to develop fearlessness? Why this quality? Why Arjuna is asking Krishna that, you know, you are the one who can give fearlessness in the heart of your devotees. So why this virtue or why this quality of fearlessness is so important? So we see, who doesn't want to be abhayam? Fearlessness means abhayam. So who doesn't want to be abhayam in this world? Because the whole material world is actually sheltered under the umbrella of fear. In fact, fear is one of the four items of a conditioned soul. It says, ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha. So ahara nidra bhaya means fear and maithunam. These are the four activities which are common for a human being and an animal. So we see that fear is an item which is already there in the material life. And the whole human life is motivated by fear. What will happen next? What will happen next? Do you know all this anxiety is there in a person's heart? Especially in every species we see there is fear, but especially in human beings we see it so pronounced. The human beings are always fearing what will happen tomorrow, or what will happen to my child, what will happen to my wealth. They are always fearing, fearing, fearing. And nobody is free from this fear. Not even any animal species of life, and not even the president. You know, even if somebody is in a big position like the president of America or the prime minister of Australia, nobody is free from this fear. They are also fearing for their position. What will happen? Will someone, you know, remove me? Will I lose the next election? So everywhere there is fear. In every species of life, in every strata of society, there is fear present. Now there are different types of fear which people have. There is and these types of fear are known as phobias. So there is hydrophobia, which is fear of water. Some people are really fearful of water, so they can never learn swimming because they are very scared to get into the water. And some people have aerophobia, fear of heights. So they can never go on a high hill, or they can never go on, you know, a huge ride. You know, in some of these theme parks we have rides which take you high up. Such people can never go on such rides. That is called aerophobia. And some people have claustrophobia, fear of crowds. They can never stay in a crowd. They start feeling so fearful. They start feeling so scared when they are all inside a crowd. And there is one more fear called pelidophobia. Now in ISKCON we can't afford to have this fear, because pelidophobia is a fear of baldness. Somebody who has fear of bald people. So in ISKCON we can't afford to have this fear. We'll have to really leave and go. So these are the different types of phobias, or these are the different types of fear which people have. And what is meant by fear? What is fear? Now if you look up in the dictionary, fear is defined as anxiety or stress or insecurity. Always insecurity about the future. What will happen? What will happen? People are insecure. What will happen in their life? Or worries. They are always worrying. What will happen to my child? What will happen to my wealth? What will happen in my exam? What will happen next? So you know, all these things are called as, are defined as fear. And we see that if throughout the world, human beings especially, they are feeling insecure about their present, and they are also feeling insecure about their future. So you see, the whole insurance industry works on the fear principle of human beings. Why do people take insurance? Because they fear. There is fear in the heart of human beings, and that is being tapped by these insurance people, by these insurance companies. That what if you die, then there should be some wealth you should leave for your wife and children and go. Or what if your car meets with an accident? No, then you should have this insurance. So the whole insurance industry works on this principle of fear, which is there in human beings' heart. So people don't not only want to protect their present by, you know, trying to work hard and accumulate as much wealth as possible, because they are fearing that if I don't have this wealth, what will happen to me? And not only for themselves, but they also worry about their relatives, their wife, their children. Oh, what will happen to them in the future? So they work hard, they try to amass wealth, to leave so much wealth for their future. Even after they die, they want to leave so much wealth for their wife, children and go, so that their future is secure. So this, all these fears which are there in the mind, all these phobias or these insecurities which are there, these are all caused by our mind. So the mind plays the main role in creating fear in a person. The mind actually makes one think that, oh, you don't have this thing, you don't have that thing. Even though a person may have everything in life, but still it is the mind which is the culprit. It says, Krishna says also that, you know, mind can be your best friend or it can be your worst enemy. So it is this mind which makes that person think that, no, you don't have this in your life. The mind will not make the person think that, no, you have so many things, be grateful. No, the mind is always pointing, you don't have this in your life, you don't have that in your life. And that is how the fear starts coming in a person's mind. And we have examples of this in our scriptures also. In the Bhagavatam, we have the example of Maharaj Chitraketu. Now Maharaj Chitraketu had everything at his disposal. He was the king, he had a huge kingdom, a big treasury filled with wealth. He had loving citizens who were not after his position or trying to remove him from the position of the king. So he had everything that he wanted, but he did not have a child. And now this was creating insecurity in his mind, or fear in his mind, that what will happen to my kingdom, what will happen to my future, I don't have a child. So he kept marrying in the hope of having a child. And he married 1 crore wives. Now in India there is a serial, I don't know if many of you are aware, there is a serial called Kaun Banega Crorepati in India. So actually the real answer is Maharaj Chitraketu, because he was a crorepati. Crorepati, pati means husband. So he was the husband of the crore wives. So he married 1 crore wives, and then ultimately he got a son. But again, you know, he was in a distressful situation because he lost that son after some time. And on the other hand, we have the example of Maharaj Anga. Maharaj Anga had a son. He was not in a position like Chitraketu. He had a son. His son's name was Vena. And the son turned out to be such a rascal that Maharaj Anga was thinking, oh, why do I have this son? It would have been better I didn't have a son in my life. There are verses in Bhagavatam in which Maharaj Anga says that, why did I have this son? What did I do to deserve such a son? I wish this son was, because Vena was so cruel. He was so atrocious by nature. He used to kill people. He was absolutely bad. So because of that, Maharaj Anga did not want him in his life anymore. So we see that every time the mind is trying to trick us into thinking and trying to, you know, want some things which are not there. So Maharaj Chitraketu didn't have a son. The mind made him fearful, you should have a son. And Maharaj Anga had a son, and the mind is again making fearful, no, this son is not good for you. So we see this is the mind which is the main cause of creating fear or instilling fear in our heart. And there is a very nice story of a man. So how, you know, the mind is the sitting center of fear. So this man, he was once sitting under a tree and he was resting. And what happened was, there was a snake. He was resting in a forest. So there was a snake which comes and bites this man. And the man feels the bite and he wakes up. And by the time the snake had already gone away. So he thinks, what has bit me? And he looks around here and there. And then he sees a small rat scurrying away. So the man thinks that, oh, it was just a rat that bit me. And then nothing happens to him. He goes home. It was a non-poisonous snake. So nothing happens to him and he just goes back home nicely. He doesn't feel anything in his mind because he thinks a rat had bit him. Now next time again this man is resting under a tree in the forest. And this time actually a rat bites him. And the man wakes up again and he thinks, what bit me on my foot? So he again starts looking here and there. And at that moment a snake slithered by. And the man is shocked. He thinks, oh my God, a snake has bit me, a snake has bit me. He starts panicking. And there is so much fear that comes in his mind that now the man dies. Just because of the fear which was there in his mind. So although a rat had bit him, but he thought that the snake has bit him and he actually dies because of that fear, thinking that a snake has bit me. And Sachinandan Maharaj gives a very nice example about this, how mind can create havoc in terms of fear. So Sachinandan Maharaj is from Germany and he gives the story of his father's colleague. His father's colleague used to work in the railways. And his father's colleague's duty was to check the wagons of the railway, the trains which used to come. The cargo train, the goods train. So the father's colleague's duty was to check all the wagons. And especially his duty was to check the wagon which used to carry vegetables and fruits. And this wagon used to be at a very low temperature. They had refrigerated that wagon because fruits and vegetables have to stay fresh for a long time. So the temperature used to be around 2-3 degrees and all that in that wagon. So once this colleague enters inside the wagon to check whether, you know, everything is working all right, all the fruits and veggies are okay. He goes inside to check and by mistake someone locks the door from outside. They didn't realize this colleague is there inside and someone just locks the door and goes away from there. And when the colleague realizes that he has been locked inside, he's in a total state of panic. He thinks, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I've been locked inside this wagon. And he was an engineer. So he knew the principle that if more than 7 hours somebody stays in that temperature inside the wagon, then that can cause death. That person will get hypothermia and that person will freeze to death. So because he was an engineer, he knew this. And now look at his mind. His mind started creating fear. He said that, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I'm locked in this wagon. And because of that anxiety and that stress, he kept thinking that I'm going to die soon. And actually he died. And the next day morning, when again the wagon was opened, people discovered his body. It was stiff and he was dead. And then when people took out his body, they were actually very surprised and shocked. They were saying, how did this man die? Because what had happened was, that wagon, there was electricity failure in that wagon. And electricity had been cut off from the wagon. So there was no freezing temperature. It was at a normal temperature only. But because he knew, he was aware that, you know, I can die in 7 hours at this temperature, and the mind kept creating this panic and fear in his heart. And the colleague actually died. This is a true story. So all the employees of that railway line were shocked. How did this person die? For 12 hours, you know, the temperature comes to normal. So there was no reason for the person to die. But it was only fear which created this havoc in his mind. So we see that fear is actually disastrous for all living beings and especially for devotees, having fear in the mind. And why? Why has this fear come? Because we have all rebelled against Krishna. So fear is part of material life. It is part of a conditioned conditioned soul's body. It is part because ahara, nidra, bhaya, maitunansha. These are four activities which every conditioned living entity is engaged in. So because we have rebelled against Krishna, that is why we have been put into this material existence. Where there is padam padam yad vipadam natesham. There is danger, there is fear at every step. And that has been declared in the scriptures that there is threat, there is danger, there is fear at every step in this material world. And there is going to be fearful situations you will face in this material world. Because it is said that Krishna bahir mukha hana bhoga vancha. Because we have turned our face, bahir mukha, we have turned our face towards Krishna. That is why fear has come into our heart. And because we are not surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, we are not completely dedicated to the devotional service of Krishna. That is why fear comes in the heart. And we have been put into this fearful struggle for material existence. All species of life have been put into that. Not only human beings. All species of life have been put into that. But as human beings, because human beings have been given higher intelligence, their duty is to somehow or the other come out of this fearful situation. And if human beings, Prabhupada says elsewhere in one of the purports in the 18th chapter, when Parikshit Maharaj's pastime starts, that time Prabhupada says that, you know, fear is part of human existence, but if human beings don't do anything to come out of this fear or to come out of these phobias which they have, then they are no different than animals. We see animals are also, the whole animal existence is based on fear. All species of life, they are eating, they are sleeping, they are mating, defending, everything is based on fear. But as human beings, if we don't try to rise above this fear, then we are no different than animals. So it is said, what is the solution? How do we get this fearlessness in our heart? How do devotees cultivate the quality or the virtue of fearlessness? So it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, first chapter, fifth verse, it says, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagwan Ishwarohari Shrotavya Kirti Tavyascha Smartavyascha Cheta Abhayam. Abhayam means fearless. So Prabhupada says there that one who desires fearlessness must hear about, glorify and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is there in the first chapter of the second canto of Bhagavatam, where Sukadeva Goswami is giving very nice instructions in the second canto to Parikshit Maharaj. So anybody who is desiring fearlessness in their heart, or fearlessness from this material existence, because struggle is always going to be there in the material existence, but to become fearless in our struggle of material existence, one must remember, glorify and also sing the glories of the Supreme Personality of God and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the sure shot way to develop fearlessness. And like Govinda Das has also sung, in the Vaishnava songs book we have this song, Bhajahu Re Mana Shri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charana Aravindare. So O conditioned soul, if you want to become Abhaya, if you want to become fearless, then please worship the lotus feet of Shri Nanda Nandana, the lotus feet of the son of Maharaj Nanda, and that is how you will get fearlessness in your heart. And there are so many examples of devotees who were totally fearless. They were always remembering, glorifying and hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore they were absolutely fearless. And one of the examples of this is none other than Maharaj Parikshit. It will come further in the first canto itself, in the 18th chapter. It says in the 18th chapter, when Maharaj Parikshit comes to know, he has been cursed by the Brahmana boy Sringi. And he comes to know that he is going to die by the bite of a snake bird in 7 days. But Maharaj Parikshit, since his womb, since he was in the womb of his mother, he had darshan of Lord Krishna. Because again, just after a few verses, Lord Krishna will come again as a Bhaktavatsala feature. And Uttara comes running towards Lord Krishna, saying that because Ashwatthama again releases a Brahmastra. And he wants to kill the last living heir to the Pandava dynasty, which was in Uttara's womb. So he wanted to kill the unborn child which was in Uttara's womb by releasing the Brahmastra directed at the child. And Uttara actually could see it coming towards her, and she again runs to Krishna. And she says that, please save me, like how Arjuna is saying right now. So again Uttara also runs to Krishna, and Krishna actually enters the womb of Uttara. And he protects Maharaj Parikshit in the womb. So Maharaj Parikshit had darshan of Lord Krishna in the womb of Uttara. And that's therefore, when he came out of the womb of Uttara, he was always looking around for Krishna, because he had darshan. And he was looking out, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? And therefore his name is also Parikshit. So because he was doing Pariksha, Pariksha meaning he was always examining everyone, who is Krishna, like that. Therefore he was named as Parikshit. So since childhood, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. And he was a totally surrendered soul. So therefore when he came to know that he is going to be bit by a snake bird, there was absolutely no fear in his heart. He was totally a surrendered soul and he was not fearful of his death. What he did was he immediately renounced everything and he went and he searched out for a spiritual master. Like Prabhupada says in this purport that the spiritual master is the transparent via medium of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whatever virtues the Supreme Personality of Godhead has, they can come into us through the transparent medium of the spiritual master. So even though Parikshit Maharaj was a surrendered soul and he was liberated and he was totally fearless, he still goes and surrenders to Sukadeva Goswami and accepts him as spiritual master and then does inquiries from him to know about the absolute truth. And also another sure shot method of becoming fearless is there further in the first canto of the second chapter, the 11th verse. It says, Etan nirvidya mananam, ichatam akuto bhayam, yoginam ripan nirnitam, Harir Naam Anukirtanam. So Akuto Bhayam. So one who wants to be fearless. Akuto Bhayam means without fear. One who wants to be fearless in life, that situation can be achieved only by constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord. But that also Anukirtanam, following in the footsteps of the great Acharyas or the great Mahajans who are present. So constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the sure shot way to become fearless in this material life. And it is applicable to everyone, whether one is a karmi, whether one is a jnani, whether one is a yogi or a siddhi, you know, mystic yoga, he has lots of siddhis, or whether one is a bhakta. Whatever situation one is in, if he wants to become fearless, then the sure shot method is to chant the holy names of the Lord. And we see that there is another great example of this fearlessness in the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Now Prahlad Maharaj was just a small child. He was a 5 years old child. And his father Hiranyakashipu, he was the greatest demon ever to have lived in this universe. It is said that Hiranyakashipu was so fearless, the demigods used to fear him so much and he was so powerful. Now when it's summer, then you know how we want to have a fan, or we put an AC and we spend so much time and energy and money on operating that AC to get a cooler atmosphere in our house. Or when there is a winter season, we spend money on operating the heater to get a hotter atmosphere in the house. But it is said that Hiranyakashipu, he just had to raise his eyebrow. And if the atmosphere was too hot, the demigods out of fear would make the whole atmosphere cold. Just by the raising of the eyebrow of Hiranyakashipu. Or if it had become too cold, then he would just raise his eyebrow and the demigods would again create the climate of the whole world which was suitable to Hiranyakashipu. He didn't have to spend on ACs and heaters and all that. So he was such a powerful demon. But his 5 year old child, you know, the demigods, great demigods used to fear him, but his 5 year old son Prahlad Maharaj, he absolutely had no fear of his father. Because Prahlad Maharaj was totally surrendered soul. He was Akuto Bhayam. He was fearless. Because he was totally surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was constantly remembering, hearing about and glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is what was giving him total fearlessness in his heart. And we also see the example of Pandavas, none other than the Pandavas. Now the Pandavas had faced so many difficulties in their lives. Since when they were young children, their father passed away. And then they had to be brought up in an atmosphere in that kingdom where Dhritarashtra always wanted his son to become the king. So they were always being treated as second. And then they lost everything in the gambling match. They were driven out of their own kingdom. They had to stay in the forest for 14 years. So if you see the list of pain and of all the miseries which the Pandavas had to face, it was absolutely unending. But they were totally surrendered souls to Krishna. And there is a very nice pastime in the Mahabharata of Arjuna and how he was totally surrendered. So it is mentioned in the Mahabharata that Bhishma takes a vow, like Duryodhana goes and really challenges Bhishma that you love the Pandavas so much that you are never going to kill them in this war because of your affection for them. And you know, when a Kshatriya is challenged like this, he has to take up the challenge. That is the duty of a Kshatriya. So Bhishma takes up the challenge and he promises that tomorrow I will slay all the 5 Pandavas in the battlefield. And now there was a big stir in both the camps, in the Pandavas camps as well as the Kauravas camps. Everyone was in so much anxiety and people were discussing, there was so much murmuring going around the camps and nobody was sleeping that night because everyone was talking about the vow which Bhishma had taken. And people knew that when Bhishma takes a vow, he never goes back on his vow. So people were just discussing how the Pandavas are going to die tomorrow and all that. And the word came to Krishna. So Krishna was also, so he came to know that, oh, Bhishma has taken such a vow. So he immediately goes to the enemy camp in disguise and he's trying to find out what's happening and he comes to know, yes, this is true. And he sees that everybody is in anxiety, even in the Pandavas camp. And he also comes running back to the Pandavas camp. And when he comes back to Arjuna's tent, he sees that Arjuna is snoring and sleeping nicely. He was loudly snoring and fast asleep. So Krishna actually wakes him up. He says that the whole camp is in anxiety, even Kaurava's camp, and everybody is awake. So Arjuna says, why? What happened? And Krishna says, you don't know, Bhishma has taken such a vow that he is going to kill all of you all tomorrow. You don't have any fear, you are not feeling any anxiety. And Arjuna just goes back to sleep and saying that, you know what, Krishna, that department of fear and anxiety I have given to you. And that is why I am totally fearless and that is why I am sleeping peacefully. So we see he did not have any fear for his life. He was totally surrendered because he knew Krishna will protect them. Like Krishna, Arjuna says in this verse that you give protection to your devotees and you instill that fearlessness in their heart. So Arjuna was absolutely fearless. He was nicely snoring and sleeping, and Krishna was actually, you know, keeping guard and being in anxiety for Arjuna. And why go to the scriptures? We have the example of our own Srila Prabhupada. His name was also Abhay Charan Arvinda. He was fearless at the lotus feet of Krishna. So because Prabhupada was a totally surrendered soul, he had absolutely no fear in his heart of the material existence. And because he was fearless, he could take all these bold steps. Otherwise, who at the age of 70 will leave the comforts of Vrindavan and go out to the west to preach just because his Guru Maharaj had ordered? That too, he suffered two heart attacks on the ship. He did not even get a flight ticket. He had to go by a cargo ship, traveling for months and months and suffering heart attacks, seasickness, all these troubles Prabhupada had to go through. Just because he wanted to give us Krishna consciousness, he wanted to bring the Lord's love to the west. And because he was fearless in his heart, in fact the poem also which he composed during his time on the ship, he tells Krishna that, Krishna, you have somehow brought me to this land and I don't know what I'm going to do, but you make me dance as you want. So he was totally surrendered. He didn't have any fear. Otherwise nobody will start traveling with 40 rupees in their pocket. He just had 40 rupees and some Bhagavatam books in his trunk. That's all that he took with him when he started traveling. And he did not even have an established organization that he was going to. It was not that there was some organization already present and Prabhupada just had to go and join that organization and help in the spreading of Krishna consciousness. No, he just had one contact, that Gopal Sharma. And that too for how many days he will keep him, he did not know anything absolutely. But just because of his surrender to the Lord and his complete faith in the Lord, he actually left India and he went to preach. So that he was true to his name, Abhay Charan Arvinda. He was totally fearless. And that is why he could take this step. And when we see that when Prabhupada was present on this planet, because he was totally fearless, he could instill that fearlessness virtue even in his disciples. So like it is said here in the purport, Prabhupada himself says that the spiritual master is the transparent medium through whom the qualities of Krishna will flow into the conditioned soul. So that, therefore when Prabhupada was there, his disciples used to take such bold steps in preaching. If we read the Leelamrita and we read, you know, so many books are nowadays coming up, like by Mukunda Goswami and Miracle on Second Avenue, and even Hari Sauri Prabhu has written lots of books, Shruta Kirti Prabhu has written lots of books. So if we read all these books about Srila Prabhupada and what his disciples did, we see that they were also absolutely fearless in their attempts to spread Krishna consciousness. We see from the example of London, how three Grahastha couples went to London to start a center. Now they also had absolutely no contacts, not much money, they didn't know where they were going to stay. But they were fearless because Prabhupada was instilling that virtue in them. Prabhupada had that virtue of fearlessness and he was instilling that virtue in his disciples. And therefore they could take such a bold step and go. And the other day somebody was mentioning in the Bhakti Vaibhav class that there was one devotee in Australia, I think in Sydney, during Prabhupada's time, he stood for the election. So he also had very bold, he was very fearless, he had very bold preaching methods. So he stood for the elections and he was always propagating no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex and no intoxication. He was always propagating that. Because Prabhupada always used to say how politicians should close down slaughterhouses, they should close down gambling houses, or prostitution should be closed down. So he was actually proclaiming all that fearlessly. And then obviously he did not win the elections, but he still got 150 votes. It was mentioned. And when Prabhupada came to know, Prabhupada was so happy by these fearless preaching efforts of his disciple. He said that it doesn't matter that, you know, you did not win the elections. But the fact that those 150 people were ready to vote for you and they were ready to imbibe these virtues which you were spreading, that itself is enough for their journey to start towards Krishna consciousness. So, and we also have the example of Sridhar Maharaj. Now, Sridhar Maharaj passed away. He was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada and he passed away a few years ago. So Sridhar Maharaj used to say a very famous, it has become a famous quote in ISKCON. He always used to say that pain is inevitable. Miseries are inevitable in your life. They are unavoidable. But suffering is optional. So what we do with the miseries that we come in our life is actually in our hands. So we see the Pandavas, we see Prahlad Maharaj, we see Parikshit Maharaj. All of them have been put through different miserable situations. But they did not choose to become fearful, or they did not choose to suffer in that situation. But they actually chose to transcend that situation because of their surrender to the Lord. And in fact, we have many disciples of Prabhupada who were in that mood. We have Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. We also have a disciple of Prabhupada called Kunti Devi. She also left her body in cancer. She was totally paralyzed, waist down, it is said. But she was in absolute ecstasy. She was lying down all the time. Somebody had given her a small laptop. So she used to, all the time in her last days, she was just reading and hearing and chanting. And she was so absorbed in remembering the Supreme Lord that when someone, you know, people used to come and how when a person is about to leave the planet, people used to come and meet her constantly. And she used to say that I would never exchange my situation for anything in this world. So apparently it would look that she is suffering because she was totally paralyzed, waist down. She could not move at all. And her cancer was a painful type of cancer. But still she was in ecstasy. There was no fear of death. If you even read about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's last few days, there was absolutely no fear of death. They were totally fearless because they had surrendered their lives to Krishna. They were continuously remembering. Shrotavya Kirti Tavyascha. They were constantly hearing and remembering the Supreme Personality of God and chanting their holy names. So if we see from all these examples that the more we focus our mind on Krishna, the more we try to surrender to Krishna, the more the virtue of fearlessness comes in our heart. But if we focus our mind on temporary things of this material world and we have desire for all these things because of which insecurities come in our heart, and then because of that attachment comes to all these temporary things, then they will be, our mind will be very fearful. Because we will have the fear of losing whatever things we have acquired, or we will have that insecurity of what will happen in the future, what will happen in the future. So the more and more our mind is focused on Krishna, the more and more we become free of fear in this material life. But devotees also have one type of fear. It is not that, you know, we don't have fear at all. And the greatest fear which devotees actually have is the fear of falling back into karmic life, or the fear of losing their Krishna consciousness. Because devotees have already come into this spiritual life, for them that is the greatest fear. Not the fear which karmis have of losing their wife, losing their wealth, losing their children or losing their mansions. No, that is not the fear which devotees have. Devotees have the fear of losing their Krishna consciousness, of going back in the material life. In fact, Prabhupada was praying very intensely to the deities, and one of his disciples asked him, that Prabhupada, what do you pray to the deities? What were you praying in this instance? And Prabhupada said, I was praying that I don't fall back into Maya. I don't go away from Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada used to say that one regret which I have of my disciples is that they don't fear Maya enough. So sometimes as devotees, we just take it for granted that we are going to stay in Krishna consciousness forever. We will never fall away. But Prabhupada himself used to pray. He was such a pure devotee, but he himself used to pray that I should not fall back into Maya. So how much we need to pray for that, that we don't fall back into Maya. And Narada Muni tells, in the first canto, there is a conversation between Narada Muni and Vyasadeva. And that time Narada Muni says that once a devotee has tasted the nectar of Krishna consciousness, if he falls back into the material world or his old ways of karmic life, then he is still in trouble because he has tasted the nectar of Krishna consciousness. So there is double trouble for such a devotee. First of all, he knows that whatever he is going back to is actually temporary in nature. Because he knows the philosophy, he will never be able to enjoy that. He knows the material world is full of suffering. And you know, pain is inevitable in this material world. And secondly, because he has tasted the nectar of being in the association of devotees, he will never be able to enjoy whatever he has gone back to. So somehow or the other, even though devotees fall back, they will come back into Krishna consciousness. But that is a fear which we need to cultivate in our heart. It's a transcendental fear that we don't fall back into Maya. And in this regard, there is one more very nice pastime of one more disciple of Srila Prabhupada who also left the planet some years ago. Her name was Ladini Mataji. Now Ladini Mataji, she was in South Africa and she was a very bold preacher. There is in fact a book written about her. I think it's called Servant of the Servant. Or Legacy of Love, sorry. That book is called Legacy of Love. So Ladini Mataji was a fearless preacher and she was living in South Africa. And I heard this in my in Radhanath Maharaj's lecture. So Radhanath Maharaj was saying that in the last few days before she left the planet, she had written a long letter to Radhanath Maharaj. And she had explained the whole situation of South Africa to Maharaj. And she had written so much in that letter. She said that the situation is absolutely useless in South Africa. There are, because the new some tussle was going on, some political struggle was going on, and she was saying that people are absolutely being murdered. There is no reason they are seeing, and everybody is being murdered right, left and center. And she said that it is sure shot that the devotees are going to be killed, because if nobody was being spared in South Africa during that time, everybody was being killed, nobody was seeing any reason. And she writes to Maharaj, she said that I am sure that you know all of us are going to be killed. And then she tells Maharaj in that letter, she gives a long list of all the atrocities also which were happening in South Africa at that time. And then she says in the end, she says that although I have written all this, it is not that I am fearing for my death, or I am fearful that you know all these atrocities should not come upon me. She says I know I am going to die, because you know it's just a few matter of time before the devotees are also killed by these people. She said, but the only fear I have in my life is that I should not offend a Vaishnava. So this is the fear which Ladini Mataji had. Even though she knew she is going to leave the planet, she is going to be killed by those murderers, but the only fear she had was that she should not commit Vaishnava Prad. Because she said, if I commit Vaishnava Prad, then Krishna will never pardon me. He will withdraw his mercy and I will go away from spiritual life. And Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning that this is the fear which devotees must cultivate in their heart. And this is a transcendental fear which devotees must cultivate. So although we try to become fearless in our endeavors, in our struggles, so struggles are going to be there in material existence. Even the great devotees in Bhagavatam were not spared when they came to the material world. Pandavas, Prahlad Maharaj, so many devotees, they had to face so many struggles in the material world. But we are trying to instill fearlessness in our heart in the struggle for material existence. But there is only one fear we should cultivate in our heart, and that is the fear of losing a Krishna consciousness, of doing Vaishnava Prad or somehow or the other falling back into Maya. So we'll end the class here. It's time up, and we'll see if there are any questions or corrections or any comments.
One comment. Thank you very much for the very beautiful class. So many illustrations. So the moral we learn that the person who was in the Delhi, who was going to take a mission and was not taking a mission, so we must do chanting wherever we are.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, like, you know, there are 26 qualities of Vaishnava, we know. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that every Ekadashi, we should make a special endeavor to develop one quality of those 26 qualities of Vaishnava which are there. Like, he is mrudu, he is silent, all these qualities which are there of Vaishnava. So even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is a great Acharyana movement, he is recommending that we should make extra endeavor, or we should take extra efforts to cultivate these qualities in our heart. So similarly, in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita also, the divine and demoniac qualities, it is mentioned that why Krishna is listing all those qualities is so that devotees realize that these are the qualities which a divine person, divine and demoniac qualities, so divine person should try to cultivate these qualities. So, you know, we continue our Krishna consciousness also, we do perform our devotional service also, but because right now it might not be on the highest platform, that you know we are absolutely doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. Like the gopis, you know, just left everything on the call of Krishna's flute. And they left everything and they ran away. Because for them, Krishna's pleasure was the greatest. They knew Krishna wants to have Rasalila with them. So they left everything and, you know, their whole life was for Krishna's pleasure. But since our devotional service is not on that platform, so we continue our devotional service, but we also take... Because if we know these qualities, we study about them, then we will be able to understand that, yes, these qualities are something which I must strive to imbibe in my life. So we devotees do both, actually. That is my understanding.
So we mentally or practically,
we should try and cultivate. We should read about them from the Bhagavad Gita, and even the 26 qualities of Vaishnava, like Bhakti Vinod Thakur says. He says every Ekadashi we should inspect whether we are trying to imbibe one quality or no. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Oh, sorry.
Is that way still clubbed? I think Maharaji, they started in Nigeria, but she actually left her body in Nigeria. But the road got shot and she was shot.
Where was that? Sorry?
Liberia.
Liberia. Okay. Thank you. Granthachina Bhagatam Ki, Shila Prabhupada Ki.